This morning, we would like to consider the church ministry, ordination to the ministry, and elders in the Primitive Baptist Church. As we continue on in our What is a Primitive Baptist series, this morning we would like to consider how one becomes an elder in the Primitive Baptist Church. I know me as a minister in the Primitive Baptist Church am oftentimes asked, where did I go to seminary? Well, we do not see that the pattern of raising up ministers in the Word of God involves sending men to a seminary, so therefore we do not engage in that practice, and the title we typically go by is elder, not reverend, not father, not rabbi, but elder, because we believe that is the most biblically appropriate and biblically prevalent title for a man that's been ordained in the ministry. So we'd like to consider some of those things this morning. Another aspect of the Primitive Baptist Church that is a good bit distinctive and different from the general flavor of Christianity in the raising up of ministers. So first of all, we need to understand that men do not sign up to be a preacher. God calls men into the ministry. God chooses out who he sees fit to serve him in a ordained official capacity in the church. When Jesus chose his disciples and his apostles during his ministry, it says in Mark chapter 3 and verse 13 that Jesus called them and they came unto him. And this is not a calling that men can reject. Now, they can ignore it for a while, but there will be a burden and a pressing upon that man if he ignores his calling, that he will not be able to relent. He will not be able to ignore the pressure and the burden of this calling. It's a fire that God instills that's shut up in our bones. And if we do not preach the gospel, then there is no relenting of that burden. There's no relenting of that fire in the bones if we do not serve God in his ministry. So God chose out his disciples. They didn't sign up for it. He chose them out and they came unto him. We see Jesus going to fishermen, Peter and Andrew, and later James and John, calling them. And they immediately left their nets. They left their father. They left their business. They left their profession and followed him. We see Jesus calling Matthew, the publican, and he left his office as a publican immediately and followed the Lord. So God chooses out who he sees fit to serve him in his ministry. He calls them and we follow Christ in service to him. No man takes this honor unto himself. Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 4. No man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Jesus told the apostles in John 15 and verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring fruit. So God chooses out men to the ministry, and then they feel that burden. They begin to preach and teach in the church, and then the church acknowledges that calling and has an ordination service to verify that in their mind, this man has proven to be faithful. He's proven to serve God in this ministerial capacity. So we lay hands upon that man and ordain him or appoint him and set him apart for the work that God has called him unto. We see that pattern in Acts chapter 13 and in verse 2, Paul and Barnabas preached and taught in the church at Antioch, and it was the ministry, it was the prophets and the teachers in the church at Antioch that acknowledged their calling, that acknowledged their calling of God into the ministry, and they laid hands upon them, appointing them and giving their affirmation of their calling and also giving them the authority and the blessing to serve God in the office that it had been manifested that they were called unto. God calls men to benefit his church. He gave gifts unto men, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 to 12. He gave gifts unto men to the benefit of the church, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Men are not called into the ministry to elevate themselves or to promote themselves in any way. Men are called into the ministry to be a blessing to the church of God's people and to honor the Lord. God is the only authority that can call men to preach. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 15. How shall then they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? But notice verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? You see, God sends his ministers. Only a man that is following the direction of God, following the direction of the Holy Spirit, and following where God sends him to, will he be blessed in his ministry. We see how the Holy Spirit sent Philip to go preach unto the eunuch in the middle of the Gaza desert. And that was profitable because God sent him and he followed that sending command. Also, in regards to a man being sent, it's God and the Holy Spirit that appoints a man as an overseer, a pastor of a flock. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. So it's God that appoints men as overseers. It's God that appoints men as a pastor, a shepherd of the Lord's church. And that's important to be reminded of for churches that are without pastors. You don't need to go and look at someone's resume and evaluate them in a earthly way. No, you need to seek the direction of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is the only authority that can rightfully appoint a man as a pastor of one of the Lord's little churches. So next, we want to consider the raising up of a minister. How is a man trained? I know I'm oftentimes asked, where did you go to seminary? Well, the answer is I didn't go to a man-made seminary. Instead, I went through the Lord's biblical, scriptural pattern of raising up and training in the ministry. We have no indication that the manner of raising up men and teaching and validating the calling of a man is by them going to a school, oftentimes many states away, many hours away from the area that they're going to labor, going to a school and sitting in classes and taking tests to validate themselves in the ministry and to learn how to grow in the ministry. No, there is absolutely no pattern or standard for a seminary in the Word of God, so therefore we do not raise up our ministers in that way. I did not go to seminary, a man-made seminary. Instead, I believe I was trained up under the tutelage of a seasoned ministry according to the manner that we see in the Word of God. In the Primitive Baptist Church, ministers are raised up in what we would call a mentor-apprentice relationship, a father-son relationship. We see references many times in Scripture of Paul referencing men as being his son in the ministry, and those men referring to Paul as their father in the ministry. Typically, when a man feels a burden to preach, he feels a burden to serve God in the ministry, he would express that to his pastor, and then oftentimes their pastor will end up being their father in the ministry, but circumstances are different with each individual minister, and sometimes there will be another man that is a important guiding father in the ministry influence to them to teach them in the manner that they ought to serve the Lord in his church. We also think about this in somewhat of a mentor and apprentice relationship. A apprentice learns on the job. You know, it doesn't make sense for a man to be trained to serve the Lord's church in pastoring men by taking tests out in a school. No, the way that you learn how to do that is by doing it. The way that you learn how to minister to people is by ministering to people. The way that you learn how to preach is by preaching. And the mentor evaluates the progress of their apprentice, gives them instruction, gives them encouragement, teaches them the manner that they ought to deal with specific situations, the manner in which they ought to study the Word of God, the manner in which they are called to serve the church. And he sees the example of the mentor, the apprentice sees the example of the mentor and how they ought to act. And then the mentor instructs the apprentice if there are any shortcomings or things that need to be changed. And that's the pattern we see in Scripture. So first of all, we see this pattern with Jesus and the apostles, that Jesus taught the apostles in the manner in which they ought to love one another, the manner in which they ought to serve the church. And then he tells them his concluding message as he's about to send up into heaven, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So they saw Jesus's example, the pattern that he set, the things that he taught them to teach, and then they evaluated that, they learned from that, and now he says, you go teach other people in the same way that I taught you. Now we see that same pattern, the perpetuity of the ministry, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So here we see the perpetuity of the ministry. We have four generations of the ministry here in this one verse. We have Paul, the original apostle. He says, things that you heard of me, so he taught it. And then Timothy heard it. He heard it from Paul. So that's the second generation. But now Timothy has been entrusted with the ministry. Timothy was an apprentice of Paul as his mentor, but now Timothy is called to be a mentor to other men. Now the third generation, the same commit thou to faithful men, the same thing that Paul taught Timothy. Now Timothy is supposed to teach that to other men. And then the fourth generation, who shall be able to teach others also. So now Timothy has been taught by Paul as his father in the ministry. But now Timothy is going to become a father in the ministry to other men. Timothy is supposed to teach others, and then those men are supposed to teach others also. So we have four generations of the ministry, and we have this perpetuity of the ministry, and we believe that through this perpetuity of the ministry, through an unbroken chain of the laying on of hands of the ministry, that we can trace our authority to baptize, our authority to preach and teach the Word of God in the ministry of the Primitive Baptist Church. We believe that we can trace that all the way back to the original apostles, because we believe that we are preaching and teaching the same things that Paul committed to Timothy and Timothy committed to other men, the successive generations in the ministry. As we said, there's a father and a son, mentor-apprentice relationship. For the seasoned ministers to set an example, to set a standard, and for the younger apprentice, up-and-coming minister to learn from that, to evaluate that, and obviously for the father to instruct his son in the manner that he ought to serve the church. And we see this father and son relationship between Paul and Timothy, between Paul and Titus, between Paul and Onesimus, and many other instances and examples in Scripture. So we see this young man who feels a burden to preach. He begins to exercise his gift. He is coming up under the instruction and tutelage of a seasoned minister who's evaluating him, and he's also being evaluated by the church. The whole reason that God calls men to preach is to edify the church. So the church is evaluating this. Are we being edified? Are we being built up and strengthened by the efforts of this man? And if he is, then that is evidence that he has been called to preach. He has been sent by the Lord, and therefore the church evaluates that, and the church will designate a time to officially confirm him, appoint him, ordain him to the work that he has been called unto. Now, it's important to understand when we talk about this ordination service, this is not the church calling men to preach. This is simply the church acknowledging that this man has already been exhibited that he is called to preach. We don't ordain men taking a flyer in hopes that maybe he'll turn out and pan out all right. No, you only ordain men who have proven themselves to be faithful, proven themselves with an ability to be apt to teach. And the church does not call men. The church only recognizes the calling of men after they have proven themselves to be faithful. Now, there are many places in the New Testament that qualifications for the ministry are given. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. Titus chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 to 26. Also in Titus chapter 2 and the beginning of 1 Peter chapter 5. And we don't have time to consider all of these this morning, but there's two specific categories of qualifications for a man to be considered for ordination for the ministry. First of all, he is proven to be a moral man. And we're just going to read these off very quickly. The summarization of the moral qualifications of a man to be considered for ordination to the ministry, ordination as an elder in the Primitive Baptist Church. He must be blameless, have a good report of them that are without, be the husband of one wife, ruling well his own house, a lover of hospitality, lover of good men, of good behavior, patient, temperate, not soon angry, not a brawler, not a striker, vigilant, sober, just, holy, not self-willed, not covetous, not greedy of filthy lucre, and not given to wine. So you rule well your own house, you are not a drunkard, you're not violent, you're not greedy and covetous, And you prove by the church evaluating the life of this man that he meets the moral qualifications, but he also has to meet doctrinal or scriptural qualifications. He's proven that he's sound in the faith. He's proven that he is sound in the scriptures. He has proven that he is apt to teach, able to teach sound doctrine and to exhort and convince the gainsayers. He holds fast the faithful word. He has sound speech that cannot be condemned. He's not a novice. He's not a new person to the faith. He's proven to be faithful. He's displayed wisdom. He's proven a commitment to preach the gospel of the finished work of Jesus Christ. He has proven himself to be faithful. So then in the Primitive Baptist Church, we will then have an ordination service. The church evaluates the life of a man. The church evaluates the preaching of a man. And if he proves himself to be faithful, if he proves himself to be apt to teach, but also meet the moral qualifications, then the church would have an ordination service, which is the church acknowledging the calling of God upon this man's life. And we see from Acts chapter 13, the way in which that is done is by the laying on of hands of a presbytery. So we would have an ordination service. A man will typically be questioned just to validate his doctrinal maturity and understanding. And then there will be a questioning of the church as to this man's moral qualifications. Does he meet the moral qualifications of a minister? And after that is confirmed, then there will be a laying on of hands by the ordained ministry and a prayer ordaining him to the ministry. So myself and other ministers in the Primitive Baptist Church are ordained by the laying on of hands of a presbytery, because that's the pattern that we see in Scripture in Acts chapter 13 and in many other examples as well. So men are ordained by the laying on of hands of the ministry, the church acknowledging their gift and setting them apart for the calling that God has placed upon their life. Now, also in the Primitive Baptist Church, we typically go by the official title of elder. There are many other names that people in Christianity use for those that serve in this capacity, but many of them are not appropriate for ministers in the church. There are many people that call their preachers reverend. Well, reverend is only used one time in the Bible in Psalm 111 and in verse 9, and it describes God's name as being holy and reverend. Reverend is a name that's reserved for God, and we do not take that title upon ourselves. So we do not use the title reverend. We do not go by the name father, as many in the Roman Catholic and other denominations do. Actually, we're told in Matthew chapter 23 and in verse 8 and 10 that we're not supposed to call any man upon this earth our father. So that is patently unscriptural to call any man in the ministry a father here in this earth. The title of priest and high priest is given to the Lord in Scripture. Now, we've been made kings and priests through the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's not appropriate for us to take the title of a priest upon ourselves. So the titles of reverend, father, rabbi, master, even priest and high priest, those are not appropriate titles to be given to men, because those names are given to God, especially reverend. That's a name that's attributed to God, not to man. So what title do we use in the Primitive Baptist Church? We primarily use elder. Now, when you see the qualifications for the ministry, particularly in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1, it describes the qualifications of a bishop. And that is an appropriate title for the office of the ministry, but we don't prefer to use that title just to not confuse ourselves with other denominations who we believe use that in an unscriptural way. The word pastor is given to describe those who teach in the Lord's church. So that is an appropriate title for a man that pastors the church. So both bishop and pastor are appropriate titles, but the most prevalent reference that we see in the New Testament to men that serve God in the ministry is elder. Elder is used 16 times in the New Testament. Bishop is used 4 times, and pastor is only used 1 time. So we see elder being the most prevalent term to describe the ministry that serves the Lord's church. So therefore, the title that we take is elder. That's why I introduced myself here on the program as Elder David Wise, because we believe that is the most appropriate biblical term for those that serve the church in a ministerial capacity. And I also want to highlight one of those qualifications of the ministry is for a man to be the husband of one wife. So that disqualifies any females from serving in this ministerial elder capacity. Now, the ladies and the sisters are vital to the health of our church. You serve God in a different capacity, in a different role, but it's very important to understand that the Word of God makes no bones about the fact that women are not to be ordained to the ministry. A man that is married is required to be the husband of one wife, and only a man can meet that qualification. So now, after a man has been ordained to the ministry, he has been called to edify the body of Christ, called to edify the church. So what does he do in the church? Well, the roles of a minister are diverse and broad, and we certainly don't have time to consider all of those this morning. But very briefly, the main role, the main function of calling men into the ministry is to preach God's word, to preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season, rebuking, exhorting with all longsuffering and doctrine, to teach the church. The early ministry taught daily in the temple and in every house. They ceased not to teach and to preach. They taught publicly and privately, both publicly and from house to house, to feed the flock of God, to perfect the saints, to perform the work of the ministry, to edify the body of Christ, to protect the church from being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, to edify and to promote the growth and the unity of the body of Christ. So men are called by God, they're sent by God, raised up under the instruction and tutelage of a seasoned minister and a mentor-apprentice relationship, a father-son relationship. They are ordained, set apart for the ministry by the laying on of hands of a presbytery, and we preach and teach the word of God to edify the body of Christ. We hope these thoughts have been profitable for you this morning, and I would ask you on behalf of a man that has been ordained to this office and the gravity that comes along with my responsibility to please pray for your ministry, pray for your preachers, pray for your pastors, that we can serve you acceptably in the Lord's church. May God bless you this morning.